WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Something to talk about for the rest of their lives. What happened to the 80 crew and passengers aboard a Delta flight from Minneapolis landing in Toronto today? One passenger.
We just landed. Our plane crashed. It's upside down.
The plane flipped over and caught fire, yet all aboard survived. Some went to the hospital. ABC News aviation consultant Steve Ganyard.
You can see the winds. The gusts were at least over 35. Even now, they're over 50 in Toronto. There was snow on the runway. Anytime the runway is slick, they'll look at that.
A federal judge is expected to rule within a day after expressing skepticism about a request by states to block Elon Musk's government efficiency office from accessing sensitive databases and firing employees. Protests to the Musk firings.
Elon Musk has got to go.
All across the nation, this outside the Capitol in Washington, others in Boston, Tampa, and elsewhere. Flood emergencies continue in Kentucky. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. 7.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The second week of sturgeon spearing season on the Lake Winnebago system closed Sunday, and the harvest of the prehistoric fish sits at about 640. The harvest for upriver lakes is at almost 80% of the harvest cap for male sturgeon, but the 90% harvest cap trigger on Lake Winnebago is in no danger of being met. The sturgeon spearing season ends Sunday, or when the harvest cap is met, whichever comes first. The man accused of a triple homicide in New Lisbon faces even more charges. 47-year-old Virgil Thu made his initial appearance in Juneau County Court last week. Thu, already charged with three counts of first-degree intentional homicide, now faces charges of hiding a corpse, possession of a firearm as a convicted felon, taking and driving a vehicle without consent, and misdemeanor charge of obstructing an officer. He's accused of killing 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba and two girls, ages 12 and 13, at their New Lisbon home late last year. Gas prices are down in Wisconsin, but up nationally. Melissa Kay has the story.
Average gas prices dropped 1.9 cents over the last week for an average of $2.90 per gallon today. This is 4.5 cents lower than a month ago and over 11 cents lower than this time last year. The national average is up 2.2 cents for an average of $3.11 today. This increase is mainly due to refinery maintenance and outages on the West Coast. Also, the transition to summer gasoline is underway, and prices will likely start rising in the weeks ahead. A potential peace deal between Russia and Ukraine could have significant implications for oil markets in the months ahead.
Gas prices in Green Bay and Oshkosh are averaging $2.76 a gallon this week. In Appleton, the average is $2.79 a gallon. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
The Badgers get national attention. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers making national headlines after their upset win at Purdue 94-84. Are they poised for a higher seed in the tournament when the selection committee meets next month? Head coach Greg Gard.
We got a lot of basketball left to play before that day comes, so that's great. That means we got the attention of people, right? We're obviously playing good basketball. We're a really good team, and I think we're getting better. And that's the exciting part, that they know there's a lot more left to come. And, you know, that starts with, you know, our next game.
And the Badgers women's team with a win at Penn State yesterday, 75-68. They'll host Northwestern on Sunday afternoon. Baseball spring training underway. The Brewers' Christian Yelich asked how's he doing after that season-ending back surgery last summer.
I feel fine. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be ready for opening day.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cold weather advisory in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 10 to 15 below. Wind chills to 25 below. Sunny and staying cold for tomorrow. Highs 5 to 10 above. And partly sunny and mid-teens for highs Wednesday. Right now it's 3.
it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.fm. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing, Wisconsin? It is Monday night, middle of February. On paper, you could not ask for a more depressing night. A Monday, it's freezing, it's the middle of February. There is nothing going on except Nightlight. Am I right or am I right, Conrad?
You're right.
I knew you'd say that. We got a great show planned for you guys. Hope you had a great day. And if you didn't, we hope we can turn it around for you. We're going to talk a little showbiz like we do, some current events, some fun stuff that's in the news when it comes to entertainment. All kinds of great stuff as we broadcast live from beautiful downtown Green Bay and extend our reach statewide. So wherever you're joining us from, welcome to Nightlight. Riding shotgun as usual is Conrad, the voice you just heard. How you doing tonight, buddy?
You know, it is a little depressing out there. It's very cold.
Why do you say that? Just because of kind of what I just said, or yeah, are you particularly depressed tonight for some reason?
No, I think it's all adding up. All that snow we got, it's like feels like negative degrees out. Just doesn't make you want to go outside. You know?
It's brutal. And I'm looking at my car right now. There's like 3 feet, well, 2.5 feet of snow that you have to step through after you park. Like, I mean, I could walk around on the street. You're right. It's just a pain. And it reminds me when my kids were little and we moved to Wisconsin and they were trying to adjust to winter, I would make them really mad. And I would say, guys, it's kind of gloomy out. It's kind of cold. We got to bring our own sunshine to this day. And they would both look at me like they hated my guts. They'd be like, Dad, never say that again. So I'm going to say that to you, Conrad, because I think you need a little bit of an attitude adjustment tonight.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Even though I agree with you, I'm still going to say you need an attitude adjustment. I left here Friday. We were supposed to have that snow, and my wife and I drove from here to Milwaukee. That was the plan. Not a bad drive. What is that, 100 miles, if that?
Something like that, yeah.
We pulled over and got a hotel room in Sheboygan.
Yeah.
You know how depressing that is?
Sheboygan?
What? Yeah. Well, not Sheboygan. We have 100 miles to go. We were going to be there before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to spend the weekend there and hang out with my son. And we ended up pulling over. Like, the roads were really bad. And if it was just me, I probably would have just kept going because I've driven through horrible weather before most of my adult life. But at some point, you start like I was fine. I wasn't going that fast. I was in no hurry. But it's these pinheads that go around you and spray snow in your car. Yep. And you feel like they're almost going to clip you. I'm like, this isn't worth it. I'm pulling over and we got a hotel room. And then, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night. You can't find food. Your feet are soaking wet. You're in a hotel room. You're in Sheboygan. You're 50 miles from where you're supposed to be. It's like, how many hotel rooms can I buy that I'm not going to use? It's terrible. But it was fun. We went out to got a little dinner in Milwaukee Saturday night. It was lovely. A nice little downtown place downtown called, what was it called? The Calderon Club? You ever been there?
That it sounds familiar. I didn't go there, though.
It's right across from the Hyatt, kind of down by where all those... What is going on? Is the Bradley Center still used?
It was demolished.
Was it?
It wasn't. Wait, no. Okay.
I don't think it was. There's something called the Baird Center now. Maybe that's the old Bradley Center. I don't know. But you got Pfizer. You got the Mecca, which is probably... It's the Panther Arena now.
No, it was demolished. Sorry, I remember.
Was it taken down?
Yeah, the one that you're seeing, I think, is the EW Panther Arena. Maybe.
No, but that's old. I know that. I know about that. We used to play high school basketball there for the state tournament. But there's another huge kind of convention center. I was wondering if that was the Bradley Center that had been renamed or something.
The Bradley Center actually got the Bradley Center got like imploded, like, you know,
like they blew it up.
Yeah,
they literally blew it up. There's not like they threw a party.
There's a video on YouTube. You can see it get demolished.
Okay. Maybe we fire that up later in the show. Let's just see what happens.
Just the noise.
Let's not go crazy, but let's see what happens. Yeah. So it was fun. You know, I don't know. What'd you do this weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Well, what you just said about the people passing you. I went out in the morning on Saturday because I had this golf lesson. And it was indoors, obviously.
Oh, that's right. You had a golf lesson in February. I love that.
So my sister-in-law got my brother, her and I, golf lessons, and it was just like a meet and greet with the coach.
Okay.
But driving there was horrendous for my car. It was
your
so,
car. Do you have like one wheel drive or something? You're always talking about how your car is so terrible in the winter.
I have front wheel drive.
It shouldn't be that bad if you have front wheel.
I'm spinning everywhere.
Wow.
Okay. Anyways, someone passed me and just kicked so much snow up on my car.
That's what they do, man.
It made me go from, I was going the speed limit, but it made me go down like 10 miles per hour. Yeah, because you can't see. I'm like, okay, cool.
And then you slow down in a panic. You don't know what's happening behind you. It's why don't people just drive normally, especially in a storm?
Yeah, it was still snowing. Roads not plowed at all. I was like, I don't even understand why people want to go fast in this.
Right. And part of it was my own fault. Like, we have this like little hybrid, and then we have this big 1999 Land Cruiser. That's the most awesome car I've ever owned. I'm never getting rid of it. It's phenomenal in the winter. But do I bring that to drive through a snowstorm? Nah. Let's take the hybrid.
There you go.
Hey, we got a really fun show tonight. Matt Miller will be here at 6:35, the Milwaukee film critic who we have on frequently. He's one of our favorite frequent flyers. And we'll talk award shows. There's a lot of hints that are being given about the Oscars that we can draw from other award show. We'll talk about that with Matt at 6:35. And he has one. I think he has two films to see still before the Oscars March 2nd. I have three. So Matt's ahead of me. We'll see what he's been watching. And then, folks, this is maybe the first time in radio history this has ever been done. I can't confirm or deny, but Matt Harper will be here at 7:20 live in the studio. That's two Matts on the same radio show. Do we know if that's been done before?
I mean, I haven't seen it. I've never seen it before done.
I'm going to plead ignorance. I'm just going to say I don't think it's ever been done before, but we're making it happen here tonight on Nightlight. We got two Matts, both incredibly talented, and we'll have great conversations with both of them. And Matt Harper is going to perform live in the studio, so that will be fun. We've had Matt on the show before. He's a local Northeast Wisconsin rap and rock artist. I love that genre combination. So cool. And Matt will be here to perform at 7:20. Our question, folks, is brought to you tonight in honor of the Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary that aired last night. They crammed 50 years of television. You said you thought it dragged. I've only seen half of it so far, but I thought it was pretty good. And I think... You know, it better be. 50 years crammed into 3 hours. You should be able to get a fat-free broadcast out of that, I would think. And I thought it was pretty good.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I just think there are some parts I was like, okay, well, we can keep it moving.
Let me ask you something. Do you not like the older stuff since you're of the younger generation? Does that have anything to do with it?
I think they dragged too much on when they were asking the questions to the audience. That felt like it took like an hour just to
I
wanted more sketches But they, like they kind of said, they wanted to get everyone who's been a part of the show some time on the screen.
Right. I agree. I thought the sketches were the best part, like when they would play the compilations. But do that. Oh, we got someone at the door. So get that and we'll do the question. You know, I'm just going to say the question of the night and then we'll play the montage music. What is your favorite SNL sketch or character of all time? What is your favorite SNL sketch or character of all time? You can let me know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know, and you can elaborate as much as you want. Folks, the phone lines are open, too. Feel free to call if you have a thought on last night's broadcast of the SNL 50th anniversary. I know Conrad just started watching White Lotus Season 3. I haven't even started Season 2 yet, so I got to play catch-up there. And we are getting down to the nitty-gritty. The Oscars are right around the corner, 2 weeks away. How are you doing on your Oscar films, too? There's 10 Best Picture nominees. So let me know that, too. You can call or text 855-752-4842. You can text me on the app. That's very easy to use. Nightlight is on statewide, so you can just click on any one of the stations and tune in. As long as there is not a local basketball game going on tonight, you'll get Nightlight. And there's a little text icon. So click that and let me know what you're thinking. I went ahead and did the question of the night anyway. We don't need the, we can skip the music for one night. You had to answer the door. Who's here?
Well, it's one of our guests.
He's here already?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That adds pressure. Matt Harper is in the studio, folks. He will be along in the second hour. We'll have a good time with Matt when he's here. But what is your favorite SNL sketch or character of all time? You have 50 years to choose from, folks. What say you, Conrad? What are you thinking?
What do you think?
Kate McKinnon.
It's the Close Encounters, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I also, Pete Davidson as Chad with just the deadpan.
I don't know if I ever saw that.
I think there's about 7 or 8 different sketches of him being a Chad.
Okay.
And it's the funniest thing.
I'll have to look that.
It's so deadpan.
I don't watch it regularly anymore, but I see like the highlights, or I'll look up the highlights at the beginning of the week and see what I missed, but I have never seen one of those. I think I want to say my favorite line the other night that I thought was so funny was when Kenan Thompson, who is the longest running cast member right now in the history of the show, and very funny. He was the host of Black Jeopardy. He said, "Welcome to Black Jeopardy, the only game show where all the contestants understood Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance."
That's great.
That was a great line. Kristen Wiig was funny. She had the tiny hands out again. She always cracks me up.
Will Ferrell was great.
Will Ferrell was great, yeah. That was the same skit, right?
Yeah. Did you see the Debbie Downer?
I have not seen Debbie Downer yet. I got about half of it to get through.
It was so funny. It was Jimmy Fallon in it, and just the Debbie Downer. Hilarious.
What'd you think of the Andy Samberg thing where he was...
Song?
Yeah, it was fine, but does that make the best?
I mean, the Lonely Island came from SNL, kind of, so.
I'm talking about when he's singing about they all have anxiety. But like, it was a cute song, but I was like, I could have done without that. But anyway, that's our question of the night, folks. Let us know what your favorite Saturday Night Live character or sketch is of all time. Lots of pressure, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will read your texts and have a brief discussion of President's Day and our own little tribute. That's coming up next, and then Matt Miller at 6:35. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. VoteBeat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and VoteBeat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The 608 says, my favorite SNL skit was Gilda Radner's Rosanna Dana. I love that one, Anna. She says, I loved Gilda. I think the Close Encounter skit would have been better with Melissa McCarthy instead of Meryl Streep. Well, that's interesting.
I think that would have been. Yeah.
I thought she was going to say without Kate McKinnon, and then Conrad was going to storm off in a huff. That's a great text. Thank you, Anna. And I agree about Gilda Radner. She was just... And I guess they honored her. I haven't seen that yet. I got to play catch up on that. But PJ checks in the stream and says, that's why it's called The Dead of Winter. Yeah, you got that right, buddy. He says, the Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy prison sketch was hilarious. I laughed so hard, I think I pulled a muscle. That's a great laugh, man. You get that abdominal laugh going, and it feels like you broke a rib. Was that on last night, or was that going back years?
No, that was the Scared Straight one from last night.
Okay.
And it started out with Eddie Murphy and Kenan Thompson. And then Will Ferrell came in later.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
All right, I got to check that out. Like I said, I'm only like halfway through. I did see the Nothing Compares to You. I think that's when I stopped watching. I had to turn it off because I was running out of time. But I will check out the rest of that. Craig Knitt checks in on the stream and says, Pete, Chris Farley's motivational speaker will always hold a special spot in my heart. No matter how much I or my buddies do that impersonation, the original will always be dear to me. Yeah, that was written by Bob Odenkirk, too. That the, what's his name? Matt Foley, right? Lives in a van down by the river. Beautiful. That's a great example of a brilliant writer like Bob Odenkirk with an amazing performer like Chris Farley. And they might have collaborated on it. I don't know. But I love the story that Bob Odenkirk was working at Ed DeBevick's in Chicago, still doing Second City classes. And he wrote that and sent it in. And he's waiting tables at Ed DeBevick's and looks up on TV and sees Chris Farley doing Matt Foley. Such a great story. Craig says, also, Kristen Wiig was my favorite last night as well. Yeah, she is hilarious. We have a call. Let's jump on the phone lines and get this party started. Who are we talking to here?
This is Whistler from Richland Center.
Whistler, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great, man. I'll tell you what, it's been a bright, sunny day here in southwest Wisconsin.
Wow.
And last night's show, I think in my own personal view, the old skit with John Belushi playing the samurai coffee shop owner or whatever, anything with John Belushi in them.
I'm totally
with
you.
The whole show was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was. I have to see the, there are times, Whistler, where I will just Google or go to YouTube and pull up Belushi's old Saturday Night Live sketches. I think my favorite is Little Chocolate Donuts. But I love it all.
Yeah.
When he's doing cheeseburger, chip, 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 and the bees, all great stuff. That's great.
Another one that I actually missed was George Carlin.
Oh, did they do something with Carlin last night?
They had a little bit of a playback, and I only saw it on advertisements.
Okay.
For the show. But, yeah, George Carlin was always good.
He's great. I'm excited to finish the show.
Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Bill Murray, Gilda Radner, Jane Curtin.
Jane Curtin, yeah.
What a cast.
You like
the
all
original cast.
Yeah, the original Not Ready for Primetime Players. Great stuff. Have you seen the movie yet, Whistler?
Excuse me?
Have you seen the movie Saturday Night yet?
No.
That came out a couple months ago, and it's all about the lead up to the first episode ever of the show. I haven't seen it yet either. I've heard it's great, and I recommend it based on what I've heard, but I haven't seen it myself, but it's on my list to watch.
Well,
but,
okay, let me throw this out at you.
Yeah.
All right. Todd, earlier in the day this summer, was talking about the just a bit outside, all right?
Yeah.
I wanted to see that, but it never came close to me. I'm 60 miles from any big theater here in Richland Center.
Okay.
Right? The same thing now with the Green Bay Packer film.
Green and Gold.
That just came out. I bet the farm on the Packers.
Right.
You know, but hey, I love listening to you in the evenings. I love listening to Civic Radio. And, you know, Todd knows me. It's like, well, Whistler is kind of weird, but that's okay.
That makes for better. It's more fun when people are weird than when they're just sort of more vanilla. So I celebrate your weirdness, and even though I didn't necessarily see it. Thanks so much for the call, Whistler. Keep listening. Thanks so much.
Hey, you betcha, man. Have a good evening.
Okay, buddy. You too.
Bye.
He's talking about Todd Michaels, right?
Todd Alba.
Oh, Todd Alba.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. We'll do a background check on Whistler with Todd Alba. Sounds like it might be warranted. He's a self-proclaimed weirdo. I love that even more. I love people that are weird. It's like the old Kerouac saying, the only ones for me are the mad ones. The people who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved. Those are the fun people. But I like it even more when someone says that about themselves. How do you rate yourself, Conrad? Do you think you're weird? Do you think you're a pretty normal dude?
I think I'm pretty in between.
In between? Okay. That's a good way to play it. Anna from Madison says, when Will Ferrell came on in the prison skit last night on SNL, it made me laugh so hard. Yeah. All right, I got to check that out.
It's so funny.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Adventures with Bill the Claymation Guy. Oh, yes. Mr. Bill, I think, right? Best musical guest was Ricky Lee Jones. No kidding. Okay, great text, Tyler. Thank you. Do we have time for our Simpsons clip?
We do not.
We do not. All right, we have a little tribute. We'll get to this at some point during the show, folks. It is President's Day, after all. Conrad, how did you celebrate President's Day?
You know, honestly, I didn't even know.
You didn't even know it was President's Day until you rolled in and saw it on the sheet?
I didn't.
It's also, are these old? Is it National Random Acts of Kindness? Okay.
It is. How come
we don't have President's Day on here? I knew it was President's Day.
Because I didn't know it was President's Day.
All right. We have a Simpsons tribute. Their song, We Are the Mediocre Presidents. Great tune. And we have Bart Simpson playing John Wilkes Booth, trying to take out Abe Lincoln with Homer cheering him on. It's a beautiful thing. We'll get to that at some point in the show. After the news, folks, our old pal Matt, he's not old. He's not even middle-aged, probably. Matt's a young guy. But he's coming up after the news. We're going to talk movies and award shows and all kinds of great stuff with our pal, Matt Miller. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Dangerously cold temperatures are in store for the next few days in New Wisco. The coldest temperatures will be felt tonight through Wednesday, with lows in the negative double digits and dangerous wind chills into the negative 30s for the next two nights. Temperatures will begin to rise Thursday and are expected to get back above freezing this weekend. More details coming up in the forecast. When it gets this cold, it's important to remember that not only humans get frostbite and hypothermia, so can our pets. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
Just like people, pets' cold tolerance can vary from pet to pet, based on their coat, body fat, activity level, and health. So be aware of your animal's tolerance for the cold weather and adjust accordingly. For example, you'll probably need to shorten your dog's walks in frigid temperatures. Along with short-haired pets, short-legged pets may also become colder faster because their bellies and bodies are more likely to come in contact with the snow-covered ground. And pets with diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and hormonal imbalances may also have a harder time regulating their body temperatures. And the same goes for very young and very old animals. If you need help determining your pet's temperature limits, consult your vet. And some things that you can do is provide choices or stay inside. Play dress up and consider a dog sweater or a coat. And always check their paws. They could crack or bleed from stepping on ice and are also prone to frostbite, just like us. And be aware, if your pet is whining, shivering, seems anxious, slows down or stops moving, or they seem weak and start looking for warm places to burrow, get them back inside quickly because they're showing signs of hypothermia. If dogs have to remain outdoors, they'll need to be inside of an enclosed kennel with a doghouse as a shelter from the sub-zero temperatures.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Welcome to the era of the mini-reality show. Reese Witherspoon, producer behind the new Legally Blonde prequel, Elle, filmed herself calling the actress who won the role of young Elle Woods. This series will be set during Woods' high school years, way before she became a lawyer. Witherspoon posted the vid to her TikTok, which also included recording the actress giving her mother the news. Here's hoping the actual series that will drop on Prime eventually will be just as entertaining. Oh yeah, the actress playing Elle will be newcomer Lexi Mindtree. Immensely popular stand-up comedian Nate Bargatze has not one, but two films in the works. Nate will star in the holiday film Christmas in Paradise after he completes playing the lead in The Breadwinner, a comedy he will also produce. Christmas in Paradise has Bargatze playing a small-town doctor who ends up getting a bounty on his head a week before Christmas. The project is still in the development stages and will be directed by TAG director Jeff Tomczyk. It will be interesting to see if Bargatze's films are as funny as his act. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cold weather advisory in effect. Mostly clear and bitter cold tonight. A low of 10 to 15 below. Wind chills to 25 below. Sunny and staying cold for tomorrow. Highs 5 to 10 above. And partly sunny and mid-teens for highs Wednesday. Right now it's 3.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dom Selvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
season of SNL will always be my favorite. They set the stage for everyone through the 50 years. I thought Steve Martin did a great job last night starting the show. I agree, Steve. Boy, I will say, if I never see Martin Short and Steve Martin on the same stage again, I'm okay with that. They're great. I love them both individually. I love them together, but enough. They're like a married couple. Tom from Jackson says, do you remember the Friday show? Yes. That was sort of an answer to Saturday Night Live. And I was thinking maybe it was ABC, but Michael Richards, Kramer from Seinfeld, was an original cast member on Fridays. In fact, there was a video that just surfaced recently of he and Andy Kaufman getting into it during a live broadcast of Fridays, which was great and upsetting at the same time, but they worked through it. I do remember that, Tom. I don't think it lasted very long, if I remember correctly. Keep those questions coming. What is your favorite Saturday Night Live character or sketch from all time? You can pick from 50 years, folks. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app or the stream, however you're listening. It's great to hear from you. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show one of our favorite frequent flyers who does great work as a film critic based in Milwaukee. You've heard him before. You've read his stuff. Matt Miller joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. Staying warm.
I was in your fair city this last weekend. It was lovely.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you enjoyed your time here. What brought you to Milwaukee?
Well, my son lives there currently, and we hung out with him all weekend and just sort of wanted to get out of, you know, our town is pretty small. And my goal was to go to Milwaukee and see three movies, and then I'd be done with the Best Picture nominee films. And, of course, I didn't go to any movies, and we just hung out and shot the breeze and all that kind of stuff. But that was fun, too.
How dare you not see movies and spend time with your family instead? What kind of a monster are you?
That's the problem. Like, you know, you don't talk. So I drive to Milwaukee and watch 9 hours of movie. Actually, 14 hours of movies because I haven't seen The Brutalist yet. And, you know, but it was all right. It was still a fun time. Milwaukee's a great town. So how you doing, Matt? Glad.
I'm doing very well. You know, we're ramping up Oscar season. We're 2 weeks away still, which is probably too long. I still think the Oscars need to move themselves comfortably into late February rather than drag things out to March. But, you know, obviously with the fires and stuff this year, it's maybe not the worst thing that they gave some time between everything. So, but yeah, I'm ready for Oscar season to come to a close.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And although I still have three films to see, we'll talk about that. I know, I think you have a couple to see as well. We can get into that, but did I understand this properly on our text exchange earlier? You were not boycotting Saturday Night Live, but, you seem like you were very indifferent, Matt.
I am indifferent to the SNL 50 thing. I feel like they just celebrated themselves 10 years ago, and I know literally they did. But I don't know. I've kind of reached a point of I don't need, you know, everyone to congratulate SNL on being moderately funny. You know, I watched the Saturday Night movie, and that was the same case where it was like this whole thing of like, we're about to revolutionize comedy. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe the stakes of this moment? And for a bumblebee skit, you know, I don't know. I'm done with SNL, and I'm definitely done with SNL congratulating itself on being the most important TV show of all time.
Well, it's interesting you say that because you're right. They just did them. I still haven't seen the movie Saturday Night. I saw half.
You don't have to.
I've heard from some people it's good, and I've heard other people who I'm going to see it because I'm curious.
Did you see Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
Years ago, right?
Yeah, you saw Saturday Night Live. Because it's got the same vibe of that where it's this reverential thing.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You would think that a Saturday Night Live movie would be funny, but it's not. And unless you're like super into SNL's history, I think that movie is an easy skip for anybody.
I do think it's funny because I haven't watched it regularly in years, but I do have fond memories as a kid watching it up at our, in our, like my grandma's cottage, all of us at, you know, you got two channels up in the North Woods. We were all gathered around watching Saturday Night Live. I do have fond memories of it, but I don't disagree with you. They've got a movie. They've got the 3 hour 50 year anniversary. I think there's a big music celebration. It's like, they're definitely cashing in on that brand, and I don't blame them for doing that, but I don't envision myself watching all of it, I guess, is what
I'm saying.
Well,
and you know, you put Donald Trump as one of the hosts. You've had Elon Musk as one of the hosts. You have repeatedly brought back Dave Chappelle. You patted yourself on the back by giving Sinead O'Connor a tribute when you tossed her under the bus. You know, it's just not a show that I'm really in the mood to be like, congratulations, SNL. And on top of all that, they just haven't been very funny in recent years. I mean, I think it says a lot that they tried to, you know, anoint the music sketch that was popular this season and immediately put that into their SNL 50 sketch. And it's like, that's been around for two weeks. Like, that's what you've got these days? I don't know.
Conrad, Matt is single-handedly trying to dissuade me from my love for Saturday Night Live, and I hate to say it's actually working a little bit. I'm starting to come down a little bit.
SNL is innocence because they gave us Bill Hader, so you know they gave us Gilda Radner and lots of great comic.
For sure.
I think it's hard for someone my age and younger to have the appreciation of SNL because SNL's mostly been watched via YouTube.
Right. You know? Yeah, you great know, point.
And in a lot of cases, the best SNL bits in recent years are normally either A, people cracking on sketches, which is bad comedy.
Really annoying, yeah.
Which is really annoying and becoming a shtick in and of itself. Or it's the pre-recorded stuff. It's the Lonely Island guys, or it's the new trio that does the super hyper-edited Please Don't Destroy. So I think maybe the younger generation, for them, it's kind of a comedy show that every time it shows up on Saturday night, it's like, congratulations, you're a week late on the jokes. We have social media now. So
it's interesting.
It's the New York Times of comedy. You know, it has a lot of flaws, but I'd be very, very sad, and it would be a sad thing if it was gone.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, to me, the worst at that was Jimmy Fallon. He would walk out in a sketch and he'd just start laughing right away. It's like, why are you in this? You know, everyone thought it was cute and oh, he's cute and he's laughing because he can't stand it because they're so funny. It's like, I want to see what they're trying to do here. I don't want the focus to be on him laughing. And to me, he was like the worst one, you know?
Yeah, when you had him and Horatio Sanz on screen together, they were a real problem right. In terms of good, tight, clever comedy. It was a lot of just these two guys really think they've come up with something humorous.
Exactly. All right. All of that criticism aside, Matt, which a lot of it is warranted, I agree with you. Do you have a favorite character or a favorite sketch from the history of the show?
In the history of the show, that's a lot. Like I said, as a millennial, I do really enjoy the Lonely Island bits. I also think John Mulaney is just a tremendous comedy sketch writer. He's the guy who did the kind of musical numbers. What was it? The Brooklyn Bodega and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
The show always takes a step up when he's involved. He is the brainchild behind Stefan on Weekend Update. So I'm a big fan of him. I'm going to cheat on this answer by saying that like SNL's existence gave us 30 Rock, maybe the best sitcom of all time.
There you go.
So that's fine by me. You know, I do think I like those. I think the original Tom Hanks Black Jeopardy sketch is very good. It's very funny and very, you know, potent. I don't know if anyone wanted to see that sketch on SNL 50 last night, but the original was really good. And even the one with Black Panther was very good as well. So those are some of the ones that stick out in my mind.
That's great. So have you been watching the award shows, Matt? Have you been tracking all of them? I know there's like a certain significance, it seems like, or people tie, well, they won this, so they have a better shot at the Oscar and that kind of thing. It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, it is tricky. So for people who don't know, we're in peak precursor season right now. So you've got the Producers Guild, the Writers Guild, the Directors Guild, and the Screen Actors Guild, all these various guilds that make Hollywood movies that are a part of the Academy, they're giving out their awards right now. And unlike the Golden Globes, unlike the Critics' Choice Awards, these are groups that actually vote for the Oscars. So if you want to have an idea of where things are maybe tallying up and where things are going, you keep an eye on these precursor awards. And it's very interesting. Right now it's looking like Anora is your front runner, the Sean Baker movie about a woman who marries a Russian piece of crap, like a little wormy Russian guy, and hopes that thinks she's in love and thinks that she's got, you know, her out of her life, and it kind of turns into a crazy night out. And it's all of a sudden kind of become a steamroller. It won the Writers Guild Award It won the Directors Guild Award, and it won the Producers Guild Award already. And I believe the last time a movie won all three of those and didn't win Best Picture at the Oscars, I believe, was Brokeback Mountain in 2006. Mm. And that was a huge upset. That was a massive surprise. And obviously, there were a lot of other things going on in 2006. We were not as LGBTQ, you know, sensitive, and people were trying to find reasons to not vote for Brokeback Mountain back then. So Crash came from behind and won that Best Picture race in a kind of surprise.
All right.
We still have the SAG Awards coming up this weekend, and that'll be interesting. Anora is up for Best Picture there. If it wins there, I think we are free and clear for to say Anora is your front runner to win Best Picture.
Wow.
But A Complete Unknown could win. Wicked could win. Wicked is the most nominated movie at the SAG Awards. So it'll be very interesting where that takes things. I will say, I don't think this is like an Oppenheimer year where everyone 2 months out was like, Oppenheimer, no one else has to show up for the ceremony. Oppenheimer's winning Best Picture. Done deal. You know, wipe hands. I feel like if we could see the vote totals, the vote percentages, I think we'd be looking at a very close race that Anora is just squeaking by. I think there's a lot of people who like Conclave and like The Brutalist and like A Complete Unknown, and it's just Anora is just maybe a tiny bit percentage ahead of those.
Interesting. My guest is Matt Miller. Check out his work at A Man About Film, Matt's Substack. He does great work there. He's a Milwaukee film critic and joins us often here on Nightlight. Matt, so let me ask you about this. Just your opinion. I saw Anora a couple weeks ago. I liked it. I think I would have liked it better if it weren't up for Best Picture. I think people are in love with Sean Baker. I'm in love with Sean. The Florida Project is one of my all-time favorite films.
Red Rocket is incredible.
I saw Tangerine. I warmed up to Tangerine. I really liked Tangerine too. I think the guy's like a real talent, but I'm struggling with Anora being a Best Picture. Like, I thought it kind of dragged, and it just that's just me personally. But I know that it won. I know that Conclave won the BAFTAs, and supposedly there's a lot of crossover with voters, so now that's getting some Oscar momentum. But is Anora worthy of all these awards, in your opinion? And I'm just asking that because I need you to set me straight.
Yeah, I mean, is it worthy of winning an award that Green Book won? I mean, that's the question we're asking here. Will it join the company of Crash and Driving Miss Daisy? But no, I think I'm very similar to you. I like Anora quite a bit. I think it's a good movie. It would be one of those situations where winning Best Picture would be the worst thing to happen to it, because people would watch that movie and be like, this was the Best Picture of that year?
Right.
Huh. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, the best thing that happened to La La Land was not winning Best Picture, because that movie is so nice and so light and fluffy that the mantle of the best movie of a year crushes it.
Right.
I think Anora's good. I agree, for a movie that's kind of going for kind of a after hours screwball, crazy, one crazy night energy, I think it drags in places. I also think Anora gets lost in that movie at a lot of points. I think the perspective of the movie disappears from her perspective to other characters' perspectives. And I think the ending would hit more if we knew more of what was going on in Anora's head in that movie. She still kind of remains at a distance for a lot of it. I do think the movie's a good time. I think the movie is good. I don't think I it would not be my vote for Best Picture, and it would be a strange Best Picture win, like a movie that small, that prickly, that kind of shapeless. That these are not the kind of things that the Oscars go for. I think maybe it's them looking at this movie and being like, we used to make more movies like this. We used to make, you know, Five Easy Pieces and these kind of, and After Hours and these kind of thorny, tricky character pieces. Can we go back to these kind of movies?
Yeah.
Maybe if we give Anora our prize, we'll see more of this kind of stuff rather than it being an exception.
Very cool. Matt Miller's here. We're coming right back after a very short break. We're talking award shows, Oscar lead up. We're going to talk about some of the films he and I have seen. You're here on a great night, folks. We got two Matts on the same show. First time in radio history. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling
Paula from the 920 checks in. That's Conrad's mom, for those of you listening at home. Gilda Radner as Roseanne, Rosanna Dana. That's our second vote tonight for Gilda Radner as Roseanne, Rosanna Dana. Great choice, Paula. Thank you. AJ from the 608 says, hey, Pete, I will always have a soft spot in my heart for any Chris Farley sketch, but I also laugh every time at Dan Aykroyd and the colon blow skit. Some of these I forgot about. I forgot about the colon blow thing. And anything by Phil Hartman I love, too. That's a great text, though. Thank you, AJ, and thank you, Paula. Matt Miller is here with us. He is a Milwaukee film critic. Check out his work at A Man About Film, his Substack. You just Google Matt Miller and A Man About Film, and all Matt's work will come up. Just to go back to Enora just for a second, Matt, I loved the end of it where, you know, they're married like a week. And then the kid's parents come over, and they're the biggest jerks in the world, obviously because their kid is a jerk. And they say, you know, you're getting an annulment, whatever. And without giving too much away, she gets a backbone for a moment and says, no, we didn't sign a prenup. I'm taking you to the cleaners for everything. That would have made that movie. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, and I like that plot point. But then it just kind of fizzled after that. I don't know. But it's real. It's very realistic. And I think, again, it's just like if it weren't nominated for Best Picture, I would have liked it more. I don't know.
Yeah. And that, like I said, that happens to almost every front runner Oscar movie or movie that gets nominated for Oscars, period. It's just there's always this weight of, oh, do you deserve this mantle? And yeah. Again, I think Enora's the kind of movie that could really get crushed by that. I mean, this happened to Argo. This happened to The Shape of Water. You know, it happens to almost every movie that isn't a universally agreed upon masterpiece, like something like a Parasite or a Moonlight or a Lord of the Rings Return of the King, you know?
Right.
There are certain movies that escape that, but if it's divisive, people immediately are like, well, we've screwed this up.
Conclave, now we talked about that. It won Best Picture at the BAFTAs last night or this weekend, and just based on what I've read, I think it was in Variety, said it gives it momentum for the Oscars. I liked Conclave, and I liked the twist at the end. To me, that made it a more interesting movie, and Oscar-worthy, if it is Oscar-worthy. What did you think of Conclave?
I enjoyed it. I predicted that would win Best Picture, probably incorrectly, a few months ago. It seems like the kind of movie, in a year where there's not a lot of consensus on a movie, that, you know, that feels very comfortably Oscars. It feels like an Argo pick, where it's just a really well-made, well-crafted drama for adults with brains. And that is something to be celebrated. I think it's a good, fun movie. I do caution against the BAFTA hype. for two things. First of all, the Oscar voting period, I believe, is like done in 24 hours.
Okay.
So they're voting right now for the Oscars. And so Conclave, how much momentum can it get from this? Who knows, really? And second of all, you know, the BAFTAs, the British Oscars, for people who don't know, they don't line up very often with the Oscars. I think when I looked up the numbers, I think the BAFTAs and the Oscars have only overlapped twice for Best Picture.
Oh, really?
In the past 10 years. They tend to have, you know, kind of more British taste. They went with 1917 over Parasite. You know, they tend to be a little bit more, you know, British in terms of their tastes and things, a little bit more traditional in terms of what they give Best Picture to. And so I caution, I still think Anora is your front runner. I think Conclave is in the conversation, and I'm still waiting for, I think a complete unknown could do something here.
Like, I agree with you.
I wouldn't be surprised if that snuck in for a win at SAG Awards. You know, I think people really respect and like that movie. It's a movie about artists, which Hollywood famously, the Academy loves.
Right.
And, you know, even people who went into that movie being like, is this just going to be Walk the Line 2.0? Came out of it being like, that's a well-made, well-acted, interesting movie. So I'm waiting for the, for that to equal an Oscar win or some at some point here. I kept thinking that Edward Norton was maybe going to creep past Kieran Culkin for Best Supporting Actor. That doesn't seem to have that heat isn't generating anywhere. So maybe I'm just, you know, putting these things out into the universe and they are not, the universe is not sending them back to me. I'm not manifesting right now.
I agree with you. Like the complete unknown isn't Oppenheimer, but it really, the more I think about it and the more of these films I see, I could see it winning. I feel like there's no weak link in it. It's got great acting, great music. It's a great story about a small piece of his, you know, career. I just really enjoyed it. I want to ask you, before we get to the new open, I know you saw the new Captain America movie, but man, Matt, The Substance. I saw that and I'm still trying to forget it. What's your take on The Substance?
I really like that movie. But the minute I saw that movie, I was like, there's no way this is in the Oscar conversation. And here we are somehow. Like, that is a midnight movie. That is a movie to be watched at midnight with a bunch of weirdo gorehounds and people who want a crazy, weird time at the movies. And I think it's great that the Oscars are recognizing The Substance, that they're recognizing the craft of the movie, and that they're recognizing Demi Moore in the Best Actress category. Because the more the Oscars bring other genres into the fold, the better. You know, the more that horror movies aren't immediately disregarded because they are not a Oscar genre would be great. The fact that The Substance, a movie that gross, that gnarly, that kind of blunt and in your face, that gruesome, is nominated for Best Picture and may win Best Actress is very interesting. It's very exciting on some level. I think that movie is a real hoot. I think that movie is very entertaining. I think that movie is very incisive about, you know, the pressure we put on people and women, and particularly women that showbiz puts under women, and kind of the age, the ageism that both sides feel that gets fomented in this, the rage that older people feel towards the younger generation, younger generation feels towards the older generation. I think that movie's really smart, but also really silly in all the best ways. And it's wild that that is a Best Picture nominee.
Well, very well said. Hey, can we keep you for a few minutes after the news, Matt?
I see no reason
few more
why
things.
Not.
All right, we're having fun here with Matt Miller on a Monday night in the middle of February. What could be better? This is Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. All 80 people who are on board a Delta Regional jet are alive after the flight from Minneapolis crashed during landing at Toronto's International Airport, coming to rest upside down on snow-covered ground. The airport's president and CEO, Deborah Flint, this evening.
First and foremost, there was no loss of life. And this is in due part to our heroic and trained professionals, our first responders at the airport.
Flint says 17 passengers taken to hospitals, none with critical injuries. Amid protests about job slashing, Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency posting on its website that its total estimated savings are $55 billion so far. Top Russian and American officials, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio, set to hold talks in Saudi Arabia tomorrow on negotiating an end to the war in Ukraine. Ukraine's demanding a seat at that table. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear saying the death toll has risen to 12 after flooding from torrential rains in his state. This is ABC News.